Welcome to Real Romance, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Real Romance. This is our August episode, which covers all the stuff we watched in the month of July. My name is Robert, also known as Bamfing Bob, and this is my lovely wife, Brittany.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about some movies that really didn't get a lot of attention. Mostly things that are either made for TV or things that have been on Netflix for a while. And this is just going to be a fun, short podcast that we have fun with.
Kissing Booth got quite a bit of attention.
Yeah, but that was a while ago. Now we need to watch Kissing Booth 2.
Yes.
And that's going to be on the next podcast.
Hopefully.
But enough about the future. Let's talk about the past. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's just talk about the one we watched first.
Okay.
So this one is a movie we've seen. I've seen a bunch of times. I don't know how many times you've seen it.
I think I've seen it two or three times, but that's because you've watched it, like, in the car with people when I was driving, and even though I wanted to, I can't exactly watch a movie while driving a car.
So, it's called Tucker and Dale vs. Evil,
mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy horror film.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil stars Alan Tudyk as Tucker and Tyler Labine as Dale. I haven't seen him in anything else.
No.
Also, the main female character's name is Katrina Bowden, and the main quote-unquote villain is Jesse Moss.
Spoilers.
Yeah. He's just kind of a real prickish college guy.
So when did this movie come out?
2010, so this is a decade old.
Okay. So, the premise of this movie is that there was a murder in this area a few years back.
Yeah,
what
like
was it?
20
like
20
years
or something.
Yeah. And there was some teenagers brutally murdered. Mm-hmm. Just like any good horror movie starts with.
Right, it's like Hillbilly Massacre type stuff.
Yes. Then you cut to these teenagers who are, I think they're college students.
Yeah, and they're going on the trips just like all they always do in the horror movies.
And it's creepy. They pass a truck that has two creepy gentlemen in it.
And like stares them down.
And then they go into a convenience store.
A creepy, dilapidated gas station. Like, there is in every one of these. And instead of having this kind of old, don't go over to that cabin guy, you have Tucker and Dale.
And a creepy cabin guy. Yeah.
Cashier guy. But Tucker and Dale are there, and they're getting supplies to fix up an old cabin that they just bought for really cheap because it's a piece of shit.
Now, you have to know that Tucker and Dale are very nice people.
Yes, very. I mean, they're kind of stupid.
They're uneducated. They're not stupid. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Because remember...
Kind of sheltered, too.
Dale is super good with words and Scrabble.
Yeah. He retains everything, but he ain't good with that whole, you know, words and...
He had to drop out of school. Like, I don't think he even finished middle school.
Yeah. But articulating isn't his strong suit. But he is a smart guy.
They're awkward, but they're just nice gentlemen who just happen to be hillbillies, so... They're kind of awkward looking.
Mm-hmm.
But the college students think that they are creepy.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Tucker and Dale are just trying to fix up this cabin that they put their whole life savings into.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we follow them for a minute, and this police officer just pulls them over and is like, hey, that cabin's creepy. You don't want to go up there. And they're like, well, too bad. We spent money on it. And they get to the cabin.
And it is falling apart. There's... Like, all sorts of weird shit on the walls, newspaper clippings.
Of murders.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of weapons.
Yeah, there's, like, you know, hazards with, like, you know...
Booby traps.
Wood with nails sticking out of them, and just pretty bad. It's pretty run down.
But Tucker and Dale think it's just
the
best.
Coolest shit. It's like their man hideaway. Like a man cave.
Oh, this is gonna be so cool when we fix it up. And it's right on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So then go fishing. And then... They are out fishing, and they see one of the college students, and they're about to dive into the lake, and the girl sees them, slips, and hits her head.
Yeah, and them being the good Samaritans they are, they row their boat out, and they grab her, put her in the boat to keep her from drowning, and take her back to the cabin.
They try to wave at her friends, but her friends... think that they are kidnapping her.
Right, and meanwhile, they're just, like, skinny dipping and having a good time. And they find out that their friend Allie is missing. And they said, oh shit, we gotta...
No, they see them pull her into the boat.
Right, but they say, oh shit, we have to rescue her.
Yes, because they think that Tucker and Dale are gonna do something nefarious.
Yes.
When she wakes up, she thinks that they're going to hurt her, and they're like, no, 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 we're just trying to make you breakfast. You fell and you hit your head, and we were just trying to help. And she's like, oh, these are nice guys. But meanwhile, her friends start spontaneously dying on their property.
Right. Now, before this, the guy that I told you about, his name is Chad, right? Chad, and what a name, right, for this motherfucker. Okay, Chad, he's like, you know, I heard a story about these woods, and they murdered everybody. And these guys, they're just like that. They're just a bunch of hillbilly murderers. And so we have to stop them. Let's go kill them. And the friends they're against it at first. They're apprehensive. To save their friend, sure thing. So they go in, like, you know, hypothetical guns blazing.
But they don't have guns.
They're ready to beat these guys. They drop like flies, one by one. Just like the weirdest accidental deaths you could think of.
It's really funny.
The one guy impales himself on a branch because he's not watching where he's running.
And he runs right into it. The one guy falls on, like, some kind of weapon that he had, like a pitchfork or something.
Yeah, it's his own weapon. Another one lunges at Dale while he's... No, it's Tucker. Tucker's putting some wood in the wood chipper because they're fixing up the house and getting rid of some of the scrap. Tucker, like, bends over to pick something up. Guy, like, flying leaps into this fucking wood chipper and mortifies Tucker. He tries to pull him out,
and he's like, you're gonna be okay.
Meanwhile, it's just, like, a pair of legs.
Yeah.
Right. But there's some interesting deaths that happen, and Tucker and Dale are mortified, right? They don't know what's happening, and they think it's, like, a suicide cult. In their mindset, they're, like, killing themselves, and they've stumbled onto this. But the kids, they think that, because they don't have all the information, that they're getting murdered by the hillbillies. So it's just kind of a comedy of errors, where they're getting attacked from both sides, and each of the other groups thinks that the other group is... maniacal, yeah, crazy.
Tucker and Dale think that they're coming to get the girl because she
flaked out on the suicide cult.
Yeah.
Jesus. And it's such a mess.
But it's funny, though.
But the cops get involved, the same cop from earlier, and he accidentally dies. He's kind of on Tucker and Dale's side at this point because he's kind of hearing how crazy it is.
And then he sees all the blood everywhere.
Yeah, and accidentally dies, and the next thing you see... like, the teenagers are like, oh shit, the cop's dead too! They killed the cop! This is the worst, right? Like, every other horror movie you've seen, only
funny.
With a really funny twist.
So, they talk about making a sequel.
And they really need to.
They really should. It's gotten a lot of traction in the last couple of years. A lot of people are talking about it, rewatching it, especially with it being on Netflix. So, I really enjoy this. This is probably one of our favorite movies.
It's a really fun B-movie. It's not like a blockbuster. It didn't get a whole lot of, like, attention anywhere. But it's turning into one of those cult classics, right? People who like it, love it. And the people who don't, haven't seen it yet.
But give it a watch.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. What would you say about the performances in this? Because most of the players, except for Alan Tudyk, however...
He's amazing. Alan is.
Right, but what do you think of the supporting cast that we really haven't seen much of?
I think they all did a really good job. The teenagers, even, like, the teenagers that were just, like, kind of side characters, I think they did a convincing job of selling, like, typical teenage-y.
Right. It's hokey. It's like, you know, B-C movie kind of horror, but also a comedy. It's really well done for what it is.
I thought the acting was solid. I think the storyline is pretty solid. And I really enjoyed it.
It's good enough for us to keep going back to it and still get a laugh.
Let's just say I've watched some A-list movies that were not as good. Or do you want to give it a popcorn bucket?
4.5.
Like, I would agree.
Very solid film for not getting a big, wide release
movie. Fair enough.
We need a movie poster of that one. I think
that'd be
hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I'd love that movie poster.
So the next film we're going to talk about is a Netflix movie called Kissing Booth. Kissing Booth 2 is out. We watched this one when we heard Kissing Booth 2 was going to come out. So.
And I refused to watch Kissing Booth 2 until we watched the first one. She wanted to include both movies on the July podcast because they're both out. But I thought that might be a little bit overkill for that one particular franchise.
Blah, blah, blah.
So we're talking about the first one now. And on the September podcast... we're going to talk about Kissing Booth 2.
So, the premise of this movie is that there's a girl and her best friend and her are just like, they have all these rules for each other. And one of the rules is never date relatives, which really only applies to her because she doesn't even have like a sister or anything. But she's been in love with his older brother for quite a while, and they kind of start a thing, and basically he's kind of known as the school player.
Yeah, he gets a lot of girlfriends.
And he gets in a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is them keeping their relationship a secret from her best friend before everything kind of implodes at the school's kissing booth, where he kisses her in front of everyone.
And she's blindfolded.
So she doesn't know it's him.
Right, but this whole time there's this big buildup of, like, you know, she likes Noah, but she's not going to be with him because of the rules.
But then they start kind of
dating
on the side, hiding it until her best friend accidentally finds out.
I mean, there's a lot that happens in between.
Right.
Right? There's a lot of character building, romantic tension.
Well, she's getting hit on by the other guys at school, and she tries to go on dates with them, but then Noah's kind of like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, he tells all the dudes to stay away from her or else, basically. Meanwhile, her best friend is, like, in love with one of the, like, the mean girl, I guess. Like, one of the popular girls who she's kind of becoming friends with.
Mm-hmm.
But they really don't care for him at all. I don't even know if they really like her that much. But she convinces them to help with the kissing booth because...
Because Noah's on board.
Noah's gonna on board.
But then Noah's not on board. And it just kind of... It gives her this sort of fake popularity for a short while.
She's literally just trying to be popular. What? I forget why.
It's their senior year.
She's trying to buff up her... No, it's their junior year because it's Noah's senior year.
Right. Okay. This I recall.
She's trying to buff up her college resume, I believe.
She wants to be involved with extracurriculars and all that. But she and Lee, they love Dance Dance Revolution.
And, like, crazy costumes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And they're practically twins because they were born at, like, the same time.
They were born on the same day.
Same day, same time.
But different parents.
Hospital mates.
Her mom passed away, right?
Real young.
Their parents are kind of been second parents to her.
And Noah and Lee's mom is actually played by Molly Ringwald.
She has kind of a smaller part.
No, she's really kind of found her way into niche teen movies as the mom character.
I think she does a really good job. Like, she doesn't have a lot of scenes, but the scenes she does come in and do, she does a really good job.
Yeah, always.
So the main actress, her name is Joey King. I'm trying to think of, do you remember things you've seen her in? I feel like you've seen her before.
No, actually, I don't recall anything.
She seems so familiar to me. I feel like I've seen her in something, but maybe I haven't. She was in The Conjuring is what I think I remember her from. She was one of the girls. She's not so familiar that I was like, oh yeah, I remember her name. But there's been a lot of things.
Yeah, I think she did a lot of minor stuff. So she's been on an episode of The Flash. She's done The Dark Knight Rises.
She was in Oz, The Great and Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been
Slenderman.
She's been in a lot of things that we've seen, but not like as the main character. This is her first really main character that we've seen. I can't guarantee this was her first main character or anything.
Yeah, she's not like Hailee Steinfeld, right? She had a starring role for her very first one and only had hits from there. Not everybody is that lucky. A lot of people have to start small and work their way up. And that's why we haven't really heard of Joey King by name until The Kissing Booth.
And then her co-stars are Jacob Elordi. I think that's how you say his last name. Which he's been in a couple things, but nothing we've seen. So this is pretty much his first movie. And then the other brother is Joel Courtney.
The one who's like her twin, practically.
And he also has been in a couple other things, but like as far as seeing him and stuff.
The big go-tos are The Kissing Booth. That's really where they're shining. And for what it is, the acting is really great. It's a good teen romance.
The chemistry is really good.
I mean, I'm not really ever a fan, like a huge fan of the teen romantic comedy stuff. I very rarely hate it. And that's a point that even though we watch quite a few of them, I don't hardly hate them, but I don't...
This is one of the better ones.
Yeah, I think it was one of the better ones that we've seen on Netflix anyway.
I would say not as good as To All the Boys I Loved Before. Well, I don't know. It was probably about the same.
Yeah.
As that one. But not as good as, oh, I forget that one we watched where she was a lesbian, but she was helping date that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I forget what that one was called. I liked it a lot, though.
Yeah. It's like The Half of Us or something.
The Other Half or...
Something similar to that. I don't remember the name. But
that one was good because it was different.
It was better than The Perfect Date.
Yeah, it was better than that.
And it was better than quite a few of, like, some of the stuff we just kind of pulled up for fun.
I liked it a lot. I'm really excited for the second one.
It's going to be, what, like a... I'll give it maybe a 3. Popcorn bucket.
I'll give it a 3.5. I thought it was good. I thought the acting was good. I thought the characters were decent. It was an okay story. It wasn't super original, but it wasn't, like, super cliche either.
There were a few cliche parts.
Yeah, but not as much as some movies. So the next movie we're going to talk about is called Scare Package. It's kind of an anthology. I mean, it is an anthology. It's not kind of.
Well, it's an anthology that's tied together through
one long story.
Basic storyline. And the idea is that there's this movie, a specialty horror shop that sells horror movies.
They rent. It's a video rental.
It's rental.
It's Blockbuster. Blockbuster only did horror movies and was still open.
And it's run by just like some eccentric guy.
He's weird.
Yeah, real weirdo. But they have this main storyline happening in the shop, but it keeps cutting to movies that pop up on the screen in the store or in a VHS player in the back room.
Or just somebody telling a story.
Yeah. And it actually blends really well. We don't want to give too much away.
I will just say, I'll tell my favorite one.
Shoot.
My favorite one, I think it was the second story.
It was the, technically it was the third.
Oh, was it?
Because the first one is the guy who's always at the beginning of the movie who doesn't get any credit.
The opening.
Who, like, accidentally kills somebody. And then there's the opening scene that introduces the video store.
Yeah.
Right? But it's the first story that happens outside of that.
I really liked it. Basically, that one is these two couples are out in the woods.
And they're camping.
And they're camping, yes. And what else should we be doing out in the woods?
Fishing?
They're in the woods, not the lake.
They're abducting teen girls who hit their head.
I suppose. There's this other guy that runs up and he's like, help me, you have to kill me or chain me up or something because I'm going to hurt you. And then he starts turning into this, like...
Weird glob monster.
Yeah, I don't really want to give any more away than that because it's really funny and there's a couple twists. And I will just say that one was my favorite. Did you have a favorite?
It is absolutely ridiculous, that one.
It's so funny. I laughed so hard. I mean, and some of the CGI and gore and what is kind of hokey, but it's like in the best way. It's like if you took all your favorite parts of a B-horror movie and made them into short little stories, and I really liked that one.
Now, even though I really do like the idea and the story of the shop and what's happening there, so in this movie Emporium, they hire a new guy, and he's this... kind of a weird, you know, Asian guy, and he fits in, but the owner's like, oh my god, I love you so much, you're gonna be my new best friend, and he's trying to teach him the ropes of how to run the store. Meanwhile, one of the store regulars is just a really creepy, like, tall, gangly white guy in glasses, and he wanted the job bad because he's like obsessed, but apparently he's not good enough or something.
I don't know. I didn't really explain.
He's a real creep. And so, like, in the store, they're constantly, like, fighting back and forth to get the job or whatever. But anyway, aside from that, because that's really fun, I like the guy that didn't die. Remember?
Oh, yeah. It's like the villain in every horror movie, like Michael Myers.
It's like you shoot him and they fall down and you're like, thank God.
They're dead.
And then he jumps up and starts killing again. Only it's that times, like, 10, right? He gets hit. He comes back. He gets his arm chopped off. He's still fighting. He gets ripped in half. His legs decide to strangle you. Like, so dumb. It is really dumb.
But it's fun.
But it's fun. And that's the whole point of this movie, is that it doesn't have to be highbrow. It doesn't have to, you know, change the horror genre. It just makes you laugh, and it's a little bit scary at times, too.
I mean, there were definitely some that were better than others. There was only really that one that I didn't particularly like. It was, like, about the mist. It was the only one I didn't really like. But other than that,
The mask one was interesting, but really short.
other than that, it was super good, and I would recommend it. Well, how many buckets would you
Scare
get?
Scare Package was simple. Scare Package was it funny, was... though. And, no, for the sheer, like, laughing we got out of that one goo man scene, I have to give it, like, a 3 or 3.5. But the rest of it was pretty simple. How many popcorn buckets did you give it?
You gave it a 3.5?
I give it a 3.
I would give it a 4. I really liked it.
Like I said, it's fun. It's funny.
But I like a B-horror movie better than you do, so.
Yeah, it's just, and part of it was like, man, I fell asleep through one of them, and we went back to it. But because this is an anthology, like, it's okay to start and stop again.
This is the problem, is you won't admit when you want to go to bed. And then we keep watching stuff, and then I'm like, Robert, why are you asleep?
I wake up early, and we always end up watching movies, like, 9 p.m. Like, I'm up at 6 a.m. I gotta...
Which is fine, but when I say, hey, let's turn it off, you're like, no, I'm awake. Why you gotta lie?
I'm a liar.
Why you always lying?
Oh my God.
All right, so the next movie we watched was a movie called King of Staten Island.
Yep.
It starred Pete Davidson. I think it was written by him.
I know it was produced by him.
But it's kind of like a little bit about his life, but not. It wasn't autobiographical. Mm-hmm. But his dad was a firefighter.
Yeah, they call it a semi-autobiographical comedy drama. But it's directed by Judd Apatow, and it has a pretty good cast in it. Like Pete Davidson's the main character, obviously, but Marissa Tomei plays his mom, and Bill Burr plays a father figure type. Steve Buscemi is in it for a little while. And the guy who played Rico in Hannah Montana, he's in it too. Moises Arias.
So basically the story is that Pete's dad is dead. He died in a fire. And Pete is an aspiring tattoo artist.
Yeah, but he dropped out of art school because it was too hard and he has ADHD. And so now he just kind of, like, tattoos his friends, and his art is okay. But his tattoos really aren't that great, and there's a reason why he's not currently tattooing.
I mean, he doesn't have a lot of practice. His work is hit and miss. Some of his art is really good, and some of it is just, like, not that great.
And it doesn't help that he's always, like, high and drinking and stuff. Like, he's not sober.
And so he doesn't have a whole lot of direction. His mom starts dating for the first time ever.
I don't know. Why does she start dating this guy?
Because Pete starts to tattoo his 9-year-old son.
And he comes to the door just pissed. He is fond of Pete's mom in the story. And he's come back. He's like, I'm so sorry. I was a real jerk. Let me take you out to lunch. And then they end up dating quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that they have in common is that Bill Burr's character...
Firefighter.
Yeah, his name is Ray. Ray is a firefighter, and Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter. So after a little bit, even though Pete is, like, helping take Ray's kids to school and stuff, and good kids, right, he kind of gets along with them.
Yeah, he likes the kids. They're super nice.
Ray and Pete actually get into a fight, and they both get kicked out. Ray has to stay at the firehouse because he doesn't really have his own place.
Pete couch surfs for a bit.
He dates this girl that's kind of his best friend, but they don't actually date. They're just kind of like...
sleeping together?
Yeah. They're friends with benefits. She doesn't want that.
She wants to be more, and she's trying to get her life together.
And he's unstable, so he doesn't want it, and he ends up, you know, going back to Ray at the firehouse to...
and ask if he could stay there for that couple days.
Yeah. And Steve Buscemi, who's kind of like the head of that particular... you know, firehouse station, he's like, yeah, you're the son of this guy who died in this big fire. Of course you can stay here. Stay here as long as you like. You just have to help out, you know, clean the toilets, wash the truck, run us errands, get us coffee, whatever we need, do it for us, and then you can stay in one of the spare beds, which is a good deal for him.
Yeah, and so Pete kind of starts to get his life together. He starts getting high so much. And he realizes that maybe his dad wasn't as perfect as he thought he was. Mm-hmm. But he was still a hero. And that's, at the end of the day,
yeah.
I mean, that makes a difference.
Because in the story, Pete resents his dad for dying on him, right? He was like, what, 7 years old or something?
Something like that.
He was really young. And so when his dad dies, he's like, fuck firefighters, why would you do this? Only a maniac would be a family man and a firefighter. In the end, he doesn't decide that he wants to be a firefighter, right?
No, he still wants to tattoo people, and Ray lets him tattoo his back.
And oh my god, that's just...
He's like, nothing stupid.
He says nothing in Chinese, no Chinese characters.
Nothing dumb.
Yeah, nothing girly.
Make it artsy and nice, something nice.
And he's like, I got you. And it's just like...
It's horrible.
Everything he said not to do, he did that, only, like, in the most ridiculous way. Now, he doesn't include, like, any, like, Nazi, like,
no,
swastikas
nothing, like,
or anything.
Nothing racist or anything.
But he includes, like, rap, like, stuff and weird self-portraits. Just all sorts of funny shit. And the movie kind of ends there.
I mean...
It ends with him, like, supporting his friend with benefits, trying to live her dream.
I'm trying to, like, actually make a relationship out of it.
And he tries to go into a tattoo parlor again, and they're like, nah, you're about as good as, like, a high school kid with no training. And that's pretty much the end of it. As far as a comedy, it's not super-duper funny. It has its moments, but I didn't really laugh too much in this.
I don't know. It really wasn't my kind of movie. I'm not really into biopics.
Yeah, but it's semi-autobiographical. It's still a fictional story.
It still felt a lot like a biopic.
Well, in real life... Pete Davidson, his dad died on 9/11, right? He was a firefighter on 9/11, and so Pete Davidson, he's really broken in a lot of ways. He's on antidepressants, he has neurological disorder, and he openly jokes about, my dad died at 9/11, right? But you can tell it really hurts him, and that's a coping mechanism for him.
I think this movie was really kind of a, like, maybe a love letter to his dad, and talking about, like, kind of hashing out all the feelings about how it makes him feel like, oh, his dad was a hero, but also his dad was a jerk for leaving them, and...
Yeah.
I just think it was kind of his way of dealing with his real-life emotions.
Right, that trauma that's instilled in his life.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I thought it was really good. It just wasn't my cup of tea. I think people that are into it would really, really like it. I think it was good for what it was. It just wasn't like... I'm definitely a much more of a Tucker and Dale kind of person.
Than a King of Staten Island gal?
Yeah, I'm not into movies that have, like, this deep meaning. And honestly, if I'm watching a movie, I just want to get good feels out of it. I don't know.
Well, how many popcorn buckets would you give it?
3?
That high? Wow.
I thought it was really good. I just was bored.
Yeah, I'd give it 3, too. You want feel-good fun moments? Well, there's a Wee Bears Bears movie.
We did watch Wee Bear Bears. Well, one of us watched it, and one of us slept.
I watched some of it, okay?
Okay, this is how much he watched it. When he
Don't.
I asked him why he didn't like it that much. He said, well, because one of my favorite characters, Charlie, wasn't in it that much. And I was like, you missed the whole scene with Charlie. And he was like, that didn't happen. I said, yes, it did. You were asleep.
I'm sorry. I think I'm turning into an old man way faster than I thought I would. Because I always made fun of my grandpa for, like, falling asleep during stuff that he liked. Like, a baseball game. He'd just fall asleep during it. And I'm like, how do you like this and then fall asleep? My dad did the same shit. He'd put her on a movie he loves, like an old western or something. And he would just, like, be gone in, like, 10 minutes. And I'm like, how is that possible? Well, now I know that it's possible because I do the same shit.
You'll act like it's so late, but literally one time we turned on a movie, it was like 8 o'clock.
It feels late to me. As soon as it starts playing, it's like, turn out the lights, the party's over, and I'm just fucking gone.
We didn't have the lights off.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't irritate me that he falls asleep. Don't get me wrong. I understand people need sleep. It's when I'll try to turn it off. And he'll be like, no, I'm awake. That bothers me. And then I'll say, no, you're fine.
I'm like a drunk. It really is. It's like, no, I can drive. I'm okay. When you know clearly that I'm going to go back to sleep.
And I'll say, no, it's okay. I don't mind that you go to sleep. And then he gets all upset. And he's like, no, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to be upset. I'll be like, I'm not upset that you're falling asleep. I'm upset. You won't let me turn the movie off.
Just turn it off next time.
I did, and you woke up and made me turn it back on.
Just do it. Just don't say, I don't care. Because I'm going to argue with you every time.
I turned the movie off. I swear to God, 2 seconds after I turn it off, he wakes up and he goes, why'd you turn it off? I'm awake.
Like I said, just like my dad and grandpa and her dad. It must be an old man thing. And I turned 30, so it's like, well,
Time to be old?
Time to be an old man, I guess. I am out of my 20s, so I'm falling asleep during movies.
About to start having dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. So the Wee Bear Bears movie is based on the TV show on Cartoon Network, and it stars three brothers. There's Grizz, who's a grizzly bear, and Panda, who's a panda bear. And can you guess what the polar bear's name is?
Ice Bear.
No, it should be Polar Bear, but it's Ice Bear.
Well, it would be Polar, if anything.
Polar.
But Polar's not a good name. Nah,
Ice Bear's a fun name.
Ice Bear's our favorite character.
But these three characters, they live in this town, and apparently they're just, like, the only three talking bears, and
they cause a lot of mischief.
In the show, you can tell, like, they really do. And the only other talking animal that we really know about is a koala bear, and he's voiced by Patton Oswalt.
He's kind of really jerk.
Who is he? Nom Nom? I think his name is? Nom. Okay. But they're always causing all this trouble.
That's not true. We know of the Bigfoot.
But he's not a talking animal.
What
Bigfoot,
is he?
Bigfoot is a different species. He's not an animal. He's a sentient being.
Are they not animals?
What?
The bears are sentient beings in the show.
No, they don't talk, though. They don't speak, generally.
In the show, though, they're sentient beings.
Yeah.
Bigfoot isn't real in real life, honey.
Yeah, but in this, he is real and
he's
he can
a talking
talk.
Animal.
Okay. Bigfoots aren't animals. They're real. Yes, give them are. Rights. If we find one, it deserves rights. I'm just saying. But
if Sandy starts talking tomorrow, does
give
she
her, fuck yeah, give her rights.
She gets the right to vote?
She gets, let her vote. What is she going to vote for? More treats? What the fuck? So, the Wee Bear Bears movie kind of explores the fact that they raise a lot of mischief. And people turn a blind eye to that.
There's two whole binders with bear mischief.
Bear-related complaints.
Yes. The National Park Service guy comes in and he's like, these bears need to go to a sanctuary where they belong. But this sanctuary is like literally cages.
Yeah, it's prison.
It is prison. It's bear prison. He hates bears and he wants to separate them. So he locks them up in a van and tries to kidnap them. But Charlie saves them.
And this I did not remember. This is probably when I started falling asleep.
And he is like, we gotta get you out of here. I brought you over here. And they're like, well, what are we gonna do? And he's like, well, let's change the van. Because it's a police van.
So they paint it into, like, the most ridiculous, noticeable...
Purple.
Like, have you seen... No, we saw Onward. But for anybody who saw Onward knows that there's, like, a big giant Pegasus on the side, and it's named Guinevere, and there's,
like
stars
that.
And shit.
It's like that, but with a narwhal.
Yeah. But it's very noticeable. It's like an art piece driving down the road.
And the bears, basically, they wreck the car.
Now, where are they trying to get to?
Canada.
For sanctuary. Okay.
Canada loves bears.
Canada for sanctuary. Right.
And so, they wreck it, and they see this party going on. Turns out the party is for viral animals, and we meet all kinds of talking animals. We meet Pizza Rat,
mm-hmm.
And we meet that fat seal that goes around in a circle.
And we no, but so they aren't like exact replicas because I think of copyright issues. Like the dramatic chipmunk is now like a dramatic
cow.
Yeah, a dramatic cow.
But and there's a painting elephant.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, basically...
It's a general idea.
And there's... It's not Grumpy Cat, it's Angry Kitten or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we gotta backtrack, because the reason that they had to change leadership and stuff was because they made a viral video.
Yes.
And they pulled, like, so much energy from the power grid, they wanted to recreate all these different animal memes online.
Because Nom Nom gets away with whatever he wants,
right.
Because he's famous.
Right, and they say, well, if we're famous online, then we can get away with it too. So they, like, end up recreating all these memes online.
And black out the whole city.
Right. And that's what kind of starts the need to get rid of the bears. But fast forward to now, and we meet all these viral successes.
And long story short, even though they're not viral, the viral animals start to like them, and they decide to help them. And then the FBI comes, and the viral animals have to help them get away. They get caught by the FBI guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're actually from the FBI, but whatever.
Animal control, whatever it is.
And they get caught, and they're put in these little cages, and they're like, we're sending your brothers back to where they belong. They're going to send Panda to China, and they're going to send Ice Bear to the Arctic. And Panda's like, I've never even been to China. How am I supposed to go back there? And none of the bears speak bear.
Right, because they've been speaking English their whole damn life.
I don't know how they learned English. And it keeps...
Well, how'd you learn English?
I have parents.
Well, there you go.
Well, they don't have parents anywhere.
How'd they get around then?
You've literally seen the episodes where their babies wandering the country hitchhiking.
They can talk right from the get-go, though.
I know.
Except for Ice Bear. Ice Bear's silent for a pretty long time. But I think that's just because he's kind of like the strong silent type.
And it keeps flashing back to the moment they met and how they saved each other. Uh-huh. And how Grizz was the big brother and he saved them all. And Grizz feels like a failure. But basically, he ends up having to break out of prison and all the bears break out. And he saves every single bear at the sanctuary.
Kind of like a Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I mean, kind of.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
At the end, all of the bears go back to living...
In the woods.
No, they don't. They go back to living in the city. There's all kinds of bears and stuff and animals living in the city now.
Right.
And it's so beautiful. There's a bear cop and a bear in a food truck. And bears just walking on the street and bears working all kinds of places.
Rise of the Planet of the Bears. It's what it is.
It was good. There was a bear in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really cute little movie. Do you remember any of the movie?
I remember some of the movie, for sure. But I think there's a reason why We Bare Bears is broken into 10-minute episodes on Cartoon Network. And that's because I think it's...
That's your attention span?
I think it's better in short spurts. I can follow along for 10 or 15 minutes. I can't follow an hour and 20-minute
It was an hour and 5 minutes.
Okay, an hour and 5 minutes. But on TV, with commercials, it's an hour and a half. And you have to sit through the commercials, too. So really, it's like an hour and 30 minutes.
How do you figure that?
Maths.
Some real quick math?
Real quick maths.
Anyway, what did you think of the movie, though? Other than it was too long.
It's a fun kids movie, and it wasn't even too long. It's just... It's based on a short cartoon. Stretching it out, you have to kind of...
There were some really funny jokes,
though. Oh, no, I really liked when they recreated all the internet stuff.
That was funny.
That was hilarious. I really liked that. And when they had to get through the checkpoint...
That was really funny.
Yeah.
They put on these outfits and pretended to be human.
We are the age of Aquarius.
And nobody believed them, but while they were...
They're calling it in, like they slowly drive away, and it's replaced by an exact replica of the van. And like I said, this van is just ridiculous. And they roll down the window, and the three guys inside are wearing the same outfits as the bears. The same song is playing...
And the main FBI guy is like...
That's not a bear.
These aren't bears. And he like smacks the other guy.
It's really funny, but so... It's stupid, but fun.
I thought the movie was really funny. I would give it a 2.5. Maybe a 3.
Okay.
It was funny. But it was a kid's movie.
But yeah, I'd give it like 2.5 buckets.
Ooh.
What? It's a kid's flick. It's something to pass the time, but
I don't feel like you get to rate it when you slept through it.
Fine. What I watched... is like a 2. So, considering I slept through half of it, it's like a 4, right?
That's right.
So, woo, 4. Okay, cool. The last movie on the list is one that I actually wanted to watch, and that is Inmate 1, Story of Danny Trejo. For those of you who don't know, Danny Trejo is a famous actor. He played Machete. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Desperado, Heat.
Spy Kids.
One of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
From Dusk Till Dawn,
that's the one. But he's been in a ton of stuff, mostly as minor characters, but...
Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, he was in that one, too. He is great at cameoing.
We actually learned, while we were watching the movie, that Danny Trejo pretty much... His agent will literally be like, hey, you want to be in this movie? And he'll be like, what are they paying? Yes. Pretty much. I mean...
So, the reason it's called Inmate 1... is because for the first few years in his career, that's really all he played. He played nameless people. It was just like, you know, inmate number 1, inmate number 5, cholo number 1, gangster number 1.
Mexican number 2.
Right, and sometimes he'd have speaking lines, but usually he wouldn't. He would just look really intimidating. And the reason he was hired on for these roles is because he's just a really scary, intimidating looking guy. He didn't plan on being an actor. He didn't go to acting school. He didn't even graduate high school.
He actually started out selling drugs, mm-hmm. doing drugs,
and
robbing places.
Robbing liquor stores, robbing grocery stores, everything they could think of. I mean, he was a bad kid. He grew up with a bad role model in his Uncle Gilbert. He was in Southern California, and he just no good, right? He was a no good kid, and he ended up going to the San Quentin Penitentiary at like what, 16, 17 years old?
I don't remember what year.
I know he served 9 years, and he got out when it was like 27. So
okay.
I guess when he was 17 or 18.
Yeah.
And when he got there, he learned that you were either the predator or the prey, and so he just had to be the baddest motherfucker in that place.
Yeah, and he talks about his time. He doesn't really talk about it fondly, for sure. But after he got out, he was like, I need to get clean. I need to, you know, pull my life together.
Right.
So he started working.
Mm-hmm. Just taking any job he could. And in his AA, he talked about how, I mean, you have to help others. So he went out of his way to do things for others for free. He didn't ask for anything in return. He really wanted to be a good Samaritan.
And he even states in the documentary, he's like, the best things that have ever happened to me came from helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't get anything good from helping only yourself. And it was really a nice documentary. He talks about how after he got out, he went to help somebody, his cousin or somebody he knew. I forget exactly the story.
Yeah.
Which we just watched it, so that's terrible. But he went, and it was on a set of a movie.
And it was a prison movie.
And they were like, you think you can act intimidating? You think you can act like a prisoner? And he was like,
I think I could manage it.
And he was like, are you paying? And wasn't it like 50 bucks?
50 bucks a day, yeah.
And he was like, that's more than he was making before, so.
He's like, sure, why not?
And then he got hired on...
No, but then they asked him, like, hey, this is going to be kind of the fight scene. Can you teach him to fight? And the other guy, I've seen him in other stuff, but I forget it was exactly. But so he taught this guy to fight, and it was even more money. And the reason he knew how to fight is because he won, like
he was a boxing.
Yeah, he won, like, a fighting championship 3 years in a row while he was in prison. And they also bounced him between a lot of different prisons because, like...
They were afraid that Mexicans were going to get too powerful in the prisons, basically.
Yeah, and so they had to shuffle them around to make sure that it kept the power dynamic kind of unstable. And Danny Trejo was one of the baddest guys, and so they wanted to make sure... He went to, like, every prison in Southern California.
Right.
And so he's a well-known name.
So he just kept getting hired on to do stuff and, like, teach different stuff, and they kept paying him, and he was paying more and more and more. And he just kind of kept getting cast in little roles, and he got an agent, and...
Right, but one of his first big roles was in Desperado, right?
Was that the non-speaking role?
I think so. It was either Desperado or Heat. I forget.
There was a big role he had where he was a villain, and he didn't speak the entire movie.
Yeah, he was like a knife guy, but...
And he kept asking for lines, and he was like, no, I want some lines. I want some lines.
And Robert Rodriguez is like, no. You're the strong, silent type. You're going to be intimidating as shit. You don't have to say anything.
They actually found out they were cousins by marriage, remember?
Yeah, but it's kind of like Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. Like, it's like, you don't really have any lines. You do your silent villain role, and you're going to be totally remembered for it. And he is.
And then after, when they were doing interviews, they asked if that was an actor choice, and he was like, hell yeah, it was.
It was a creative choice that I didn't want to say anything. Which is hilarious.
But he just kept getting cast in really, like, I mean, roles where he was just, like, mean and gruff.
Right. But then he did Spy Kids, where he played Uncle Machete, and he was in, like, three of those movies.
And
that was pretty big stuff. Antonio Banderas was in that, and the Spy Kids were kind of a phenomenon, weren't they?
And then so, like, kids were recognizing him. And then... Mm-hmm. His biggest role, probably at least up to that point, was they asked him to do a trailer for Planet Terror, a mock trailer,
mm-hmm.
for a movie called Machete.
Right, because Robert Rodriguez, who is the director who had the most interaction with Danny Trejo, he was like, well, back in the 70s, there was a ton of blaxploitation films, right? Jive Turkey and all this stuff, right? And they say, well, why wasn't there ever anything like that for Mexican people? You know, there's so many different kind of stereotypical things that they could throw into a propaganda type film. Why didn't they do that? And so they made a fake one starring Danny Trejo called Machete, the guy who murders with knives. And so he has a trench coat, and it's full of just like big giant swords and knives. He's, what is he, like all sorts of really crazy shit.
Yeah, and then it was so popular they ended up actually making it into a movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even just a small movie, like
They had a lot of big names. Jessica Alba, Robert De Niro. There was a whole bunch of...
Freaking Cheech.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of names that they just listed off. I couldn't remember all the celebrities.
Robert De Niro's in it?
I literally said that already.
I forgot.
It was like 5 seconds ago.
Oh my god. I was trying to think of Cheech's name.
Throughout, like, he's talking about his movie career, but he also talks about the other things he's done, and it shows clips of him going to different prisons and outreach programs and AA and just talking to people about...
He does a lot of free things for people.
A lot of stuff for his stories, and he does help his community quite a bit. He never moved out of his original town.
I think he lives in a different house, but he still goes to the same grocery stores, interacts with the same mechanics, all that shit. He's very much a hometown hero.
And he helps the local kids. Like, this was a town where when he got out of prison, it talks about how his mom wouldn't even open the screen door to let him in.
Yeah.
Now, they have a mural of him in the town because they love him so much.
Yeah, and he said that the area that they were in, it was like the murder capital of the Los Angeles area. Like, such bad crime. And now, it's like, he's always doing stuff for people. He's showing off his cars, he's going to people's, like, birthday parties, just being a really good, genuine guy.
He helped get I guess it would have been his cousin, because it was his uncle Gilbert's son out of prison.
Yeah.
And it was just really, it was nice. It was, like, I mean, if you saw that guy, if you saw Danny Trejo on the street and you didn't know who he was,
I would assume things.
You would, yeah, you would.
A scary, well, he is a scary dude.
I mean, he is a scary dude. He could kill you if he wanted to, I'm sure.
No, they don't say explicitly, but he's murdered people. Can we just say that?
Why would you assume that?
Well, it constantly says, you know, you have to kill people to get by.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. When he was talking about when he was in prison.
Mm. It says you have to, no.
Well, he nearly killed that cop with a rock, remember?
Do you watch the same movies as me?
Yeah, he threw a rock and hit a cop in the head.
He didn't kill him.
It could have.
Yeah, but there was a point where he throws a rock during a prison riot at a guard.
Like, he threw it and it hit a guard. I don't think he was aiming for the guard.
But anyway.
If they had said, yeah, he tried to kill me, he would have gone away for life.
Well, the guard couldn't identify who threw it.
Right.
He would have been put in the electric chair, because that's what they did.
Yeah.
But
and first, I'm not judging Danny Trejo at all.
I don't think he's killed anyone.
I think he's such a bad dude in prison. I think he had to have gotten away with shanking somebody. I'm just saying, you don't be that bad without having something on your rap sheet.
I just think he would have gotten an extended prison sentence if he killed someone.
That's true. Maybe he got away with it. He's a slick dude.
Sure.
One last thing before we let go. He has a giant tattoo of a woman on his chest. And it became, like, kind of his calling card in prison, but also in the movies. And
he was in a movie with Penelope Cruz, right?
Salma Hayek.
You're right. And he goes up to this woman. Now, he's never met her before, and he's not that famous yet. And he's like, I have a picture of you. I knew you before I knew you. And he opens his shirt, and if it isn't just Salma Hayek on his chest.
Right, and he got this back in, like, the 70s, right? Like, he's had this tattoo for decades.
Before she was famous.
Yeah, and it's like, I knew you so much, I got a tattoo of you on my chest, right? It's just so funny.
Let's not do that accent.
That's how he sounds, man.
No, it isn't.
Hey, man, you don't know what I talk about, eh?
That is not how they train.
I don't know.
That's not even a good Mexican accent.
Sorry.
You're a very bad cholo.
Hey, vato, what's up, eh? I don't know.
Daddy's very bad at accents.
That's okay.
Didn't you try to do a Scottish accent last week?
Oh,
it was
God.
So bad.
Did you cut it out?
I think I did.
Oh, God. Well, don't cut this out. I think this is good content.
Sorry. I'll stop cutting all your racist moments out of the podcast.
See, that's all I ask, right? Like, of all the things that I've asked you, just don't cut out all of my stupid things I say, because the world needs to know that I'm an asshole.
Right? I'm such a nice wife. I've been cutting out all the moments where you sound slightly racist.
No, man, keep this shit in, eh?
why are you doubling down?
A famous man once said, "You gotta know when to hold them and know when to keep holding them until you fucking lose all your money." Right? Isn't that how it goes? Kenny Rogers.
Meet my new co-host, this puppy. She doesn't speak racist comments.
She doesn't speak much at all.
She says, arr, arr, arr,
damn it, she ain't cute. Inmate One, how many popcorn buckets would you give it?
For a documentary, probably like 4.
I'd give it a 4 for sure.
As far as like a movie that I'm like, oh, I want to watch a movie and feel good, like a 3. But, fair. I mean, documentaries are definitely things you sit down to watch as a documentary.
All I know is that after watching this movie, it makes me want to see Desperado. It makes me want to see Machete. It makes me want to see Heat.
We could do a Danny Trejo podcast.
The next episode we have is a themed episode, and the theme is actors we love in movies we haven't seen. So, Brendan Fraser, we're going to see Airheads, and that also has Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi in it. We watched a movie called The Bad Batch, not to be confused with the new Star Wars Bad Batch, but there's going to be a new Star Wars show called The Bad Batch.
Oh.
And it's all about, like, you know, villains and
I
shit.
I didn't know that.
I know, right? I think it's animated. But anyway, The Bad Batch has, like, Jason Momoa and Jim Carrey in it in a minor role.
Keanu Reeves
in a minor role. We also watched The Bye Bye Man that has Doug Jones, who I love. We're still kind of pinning down a couple of the others, but we watched Eddie the Eagle with Taron Egerton and Hugh Jackman. And we're pretty sure that we're going to watch Guns Akimbo with Daniel Radcliffe.
That kind of fills it out.
And we might add in one more.
It might be a little longer. This one's going to be a little shorter. Mm-hmm. So the next episode might be a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I know that we wanted to include Robin Williams, but since he has a documentary coming out September 1st, we're going to have a Robin Williams episode in the month of September.
And so, I know we promised we were going to do an actresses episode, right, and we still are.
That one's just taking the back seat for a month so that we can...
Yeah, we're just pushing it a month till. So, actors this month, Robin Williams next month, and actresses in October.
Right, so we have a very good slate coming out. The point is that our themes are pretty much set up for a few months. Hopefully movie theaters are going to open up soon.
Maybe.
Just so I can watch New Mutants at the end of August. Knock on some wood, right? Rub a lucky rabbit's foot, because I want to see this movie so fucking bad. I can't stand another delay.
And as a fun question, so Disney has decided to release Mulan on Disney Plus for an additional $30.
And not even just to own it, to rent it.
So how many of you are going to rent it? I doubt that we are.
Now, we might be able to gain access it through a reviewer's source for the podcast, which will be nice.
Full disclosure, though we do not get paid for anything, we do receive free movies to review. We've never specifically been given a movie and told, you need to review this. So all our views are our own. We never have pandered towards a movie in order to be like, well, they gave us this free stuff, so...
But we do have access to content if we need it for the podcast, which is a big shout-out to Undercover Capes Podcast Network for making certain TV shows and movies available to us where normally we would have to go and spend money to go watch them, so...
Yeah, there are definitely content that we couldn't put out without the support of the site.
But when movie theaters are open, when we are actively able to go out to the movies, we do have AMC A-list, and we do go spend our own money to go see them. So, you know, we're not just cheapskates who torrent or pirate movies. That's not the case at all.
No, we've never... I can't say we've never stolen a movie, but...
When I was 17, I bought some bootleg movies in New York City off a guy in a subway.
That's weird. I've never done that.
I got Disturbia, starring Shia LaBeouf from a guy in a trench coat.
That movie's good, though.
Yeah, it was.
Was he really in a trench coat?
Well, he had, like, a CD case, and it was in his trench coat pocket.
So
yeah.
Did he open up his trench coat and be like, well, he wants to buy some movies?
He didn't open it up like, you want any, like, watches? Like, he kind of, like, reached in, he let me thumb through his CD case, and I was like, I'll take Disturbia for $5. There was another one I got for $5, but it was such a shitty, like, filmed in the movie theater shaky cam movie that I couldn't even watch it.
So was your Disturbia movie, was it, like, obvious that someone had filmed
Absolutely bootlegged. Yes.
So it wasn't, like, a download, like, a LimeWire?
No. Okay. This was 2007. It was straight up a dude with a camcorder. No lie. But not anymore. We've evolved, okay?
Yeah, we've never stolen a movie for this podcast.
No. lightly borrowed. That's about it.
Sometimes we actually go to our local library and rent
libraries
things.
Are a great resource for movies. Like, y'all have no idea how much we have gotten, not only movies, but, like, books and audiobooks, CDs, yeah. Video games. There's so much shit at the local library.
We do, like, a mini book club with books I own. He'll go and rent the audiobook from the library.
Because I drive, like, 10 or 12 hours a week. So it's really a great way for me to, quote-unquote, read a book.
And we connect. It's really nice. It's really, really beautiful. Cool. Support your local library. They have lots of fun activities for kids.
And with coronavirus shutting down all the movie theaters, it's a great way to actually get a new story that you've never experienced before. Even though it's been on the shelves for like 20 years, whatever.
I mean, they have new releases sometimes.
We're working on stream minis. This one's going to be a normal one. The next one's going to be all about the season 2 superhero stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do a season 2 stream mini next month.
It's going to have Umbrella Academy, Boys, and Doom Patrol, so that's exciting.
We might add a couple other things to it, but we haven't really decided yet.
But either way, this upcoming stream mini is going to be a normal one, if not slightly brief. And that's pretty much all that we have for this podcast. We've kind of been rambling for a couple minutes to fill out the time.
I like your little bootleg movie story, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have any.
Sometimes it happens.
Okay, full disclosure, my mom never let me go buy movies from a stranger on the street. So.
He said, "Hey, my name's Pirate Pete. You want any pirate movies?"
Is that really?
No, fuck no. He pulled me into a Subway.
He pulled you into a Subway?
Well, I was walking, and he was standing near the entrance, right, of the Subway. And
How old were you?
I was 17. And he was like, "Hey, come here, kid." And I'm like, "Okay." And so we took like 10 steps down into the Subway. Still visible from the street. But he's like, "Hey, look at this. You want any of this stuff?"
And Where were your teachers?
I spent like $15. I was with classmates. Our teachers, I don't... Fuck all. They weren't around.
Daddy almost got murdered.
I spent money on some bootleg movies. I don't know what you're talking about. No murder.
He could have pulled you into the Subway and stabbed you and left you there for dead.
Probably.
And no one would have known who did it.
It was Pirate Pete! Fuck that guy!
Oh my god. I thought that was something they made up for movies, Robert.
Oh no. The whole, like, you wouldn't steal a TV. Like, no, that shit's for real.
If I thought I could get away with it, I might steal a TV.
Plus, it's New York. You can get away with anything in New York.
I've never been to New York.
I need to take you to New York just so you can kind of experience it. I need to take you to Broadway.
When we went to Chicago, we were in mostly the nicer parts of Chicago.
Yeah, we don't want to go to the dirty downtown.
No offense, but Chicago has a pretty high murder rate. I mean, I don't
Chicago
know.
Chicago scares me more than New York does, personally.
I don't know what it has now, but when I was a kid, my mom would be like, when we go to Chicago, we gotta be safe and stay in the right neighborhood.
It's like there's a lot of cities that have really bad raps. Like, there's Chicago and Detroit and all this stuff.
I don't even know if it's so much city's fault. It's just, like, in a city, there's so many more alleys and dark places and it's so loud in a city, so you can easily get pulled into some dark alley.
Right. Batman, fucking, his parents died in a dark alley. It could happen to anybody.
Robert.
Anybody.
Literally, there are actual people that get murdered.
No, Batman, honey. That's a true horror story. But it's also, like, totally made up. Follow us on Twitter.
I'm gonna educate this boy after I get him some hands. You gonna catch these hands?
I don't know if I could catch anything right now. Coronavirus is too widespread. I don't want to catch anything. Follow us on Twitter at RealRomanceUCPN. Also, you can get a hold of us on Instagram at RealRomance, TikTok at RealRomance. Facebook is RealRomance, even though you probably don't want to go there because I...
That's where aunts and uncles go to tell you your political views are wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. And so we kind of avoid that like the coronavirus plague. If you want our personal stuff, I'm at BanffingBob on Twitter, and Brittany's at BookNerd528 on Instagram. We check them regularly, so if you want to reach out about anything, comments, concerns, praise, you know, money, whatever, you happily reach out. We'll, you know,
if someone wanted we'll
take your donations, I guess.
If someone wanted to write a check of, like, $1.5 million and mail it to us, I would be happy with that.
I would take a coupon, okay?
If someone...
Yeah, mail me some coupons. It's like, hey, 2-for-1 hot dogs. No shit? For real?
Why would you say hot dogs? Those are so cheap.
I'm so hungry, though. I'd eat anything.
You fat boy. Fat boy.
Hey, I have lost over 10 pounds just by drinking more water. Okay? If I can do it, anybody could do
it. Listen, this boy, I've been telling him for years, if he just cut back on the soda and drink some water, that he would lose so much
weight. It's not about the water. It's the fact that I drink like a quart of water before I eat anything.
And how much soda have you cut out?
Almost all of it. But exactly. I've also cut out almost all of my milk, juice, tea, Powerade, anything that I drink, it's now replaced with water. And the lack of calories definitely shows. My pants don't fit much better, but I feel a lot better about myself.
Actually, these shorts fit. He put on a pair of shorts today and was like, these didn't fit before.
Yeah.
So they do fit better.
I'm a fat boy. But that's okay, too.
That's okay. We got a fat dog, too. She said, ugh.
That's what I say when you pet me. I go, ugh. All right, everybody. It's been really fun chatting and hanging out with you. And above all else, I just want everybody to stay safe out there. Wear your mask, social distance. Concerning movies, you gotta keep it real.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Podcast, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.